word I shall not want. And that, of course, has been the focus of this study thus far. I shall not want. Shall not want for what? We've looked at maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We've looked at leadeth me beside still waters. I will have nourishment. I will have refreshment. We see in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. You know, I've had a couple songs stuck in my mind over the last afternoon. One of them is that one that goes, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And folks, that is us. We get off the beaten path, we get tore up, and then all of a sudden there we are in a very pathetic state. We are stressed out. We don't feel good. We're worried about every little thing. And typically our sin has so distracted us and depleted us spiritually that we're really in no kind of condition at all. And the Lord, in his love and in his mercy, he will reach down and he will grant to us restoration. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, I hope that we see your heart. Lord, I focus so often on your commands and your punishments if they are not followed, but Lord, let us never neglect the study of your love for us, your care for us, and Lord, your desire to restore us and bring us back whole, that Lord, we may have that spiritual strength we so desire, that Lord, we may live lives more abundant, as Jesus said, that Lord, we not put ourselves into harm's danger, but follow you closely. Lord, as we study these words, I pray that you bless each and every one of us with a drive and a desire for restoration when there is damage to our lives. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. What's important for us to remember about the Lord is that he doesn't want you to fall victim to the dangers of the world. That is why the good shepherd has the sheep follow so closely. Hey, stay where I can get you. That's why they had the rod and the staff and the sling to protect them from the things. And hey, come on a little bit closer. No, don't go over there. Come back this way. That's too close to the cliff. Hey, keep up. You're falling behind. All the things that a shepherd does. And that is exactly what the Lord offers us. That's exactly what he does for us. And we, as the verse says, we like sheep, we so often go astray. Well, now, wait a minute. If I know that this is what God wants of me, why would I be anywhere else? It's like I said this morning, with everything God has given us, it seems a little bit ridiculous that we wouldn't meet with him when he wants us to meet with him. You know, that we would be aloof and far off from him in our lives. As we look at this illustration of the sheep and the shepherd, what happens to the sheep that falls back? What happens to the sheep that goes off and starts messing with dangerous elements? Well, they get bit. They get stomped on. They get hurt. They get wore out. They're far away from the refreshing waters. They're far away from the nourishment that God provides. And then all of a sudden, they've got all the problems that the world has. They've got all the issues that they used to have before they were saved. The shame and the guilt and their sin racking up bills, both emotional, financial, and any way you can think about it. And they're sitting there going, why is my life so chaotic? Because you left good reason. You left sound wisdom. And what do you think is going to happen when you abandon wisdom? A whole lot of foolishness. And that is where many persons sit today. They stand in foolishness. They stand in confusion. But that's not where the Lord wants you to be. He wants you safe and away from the dangers. Dangers that the world, that the devil, and even your own flesh will bring upon you in your life. When you walk away, when you're in danger, when you're sick, physically or spiritually, he's going to be right there. And he calls us back. When you think about this, if you're walking your dog, and the dog gets a little too far away, you know, I've got that trick, you know, for whatever reason, the dog won't listen to anybody but me. Here he comes. Every now and then I got to whistle for him twice if he's far away. You know, here he comes. I tell you what, if I'm out there and I'm calling that dog and I'm calling that dog and I'm looking for that dog and I can't find it, you know what's eventually going to happen? Well, I'll put up posters. I'll put something out on the internet. But eventually, what am I going to do? I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to bed. Now, if one of my children go missing, I'm not going to go home. I'm not going to go to bed. I'm going to keep beating those streets until I find them. I'm going to dig. I'm going to look. I'm going to search. I'll go tank of gas after tank of gas. I'll sit there. I'll drink all the coffee. I will find them. I will not rest until I do. That is how the Lord views you. You are not some pet project of His. You're not a pet. You're His child. He wants you safe. He wants you within reason. He wants you to be bathed in wisdom and understanding. He wants you doing the right things. He doesn't want you out there playing with elements that will destroy you. So every time you find yourself as a true child of God, when you find yourself on the outs, guess where He'll be? Right there saying, come. Come. I found you. And He'll go and He'll call you out through the sermons. And He'll call to you through the Bible. He'll call to you through friends. He will call for you and call for you until one day He brings you back. We see very firstly that His restoration towards us. If you have to think, when did the restoration start? Well, Psalm 56 verse 13 says, "For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" The very first place the Lord restored you is He restored you in salvation. I want you to think about what you were before you were saved. You're probably a perfectly normal human being, weren't you? Doing everything everybody else was doing, but there was something missing. Something not quite right. I've often thought of that time in our lives as perhaps an old car project. Anybody here, you got a car project, and one of these days you're going to fix that car up, and it's going to be real nice. Right? That was a big deal down river. Hey, we're going to fix up the car. We'll buy this project car. We'll fix it up. We'll run it in the Woodward Dream Cruise, man. We will get it out there. You know, a lot of people got a garage car. Just sits there. And that's kind of how I felt about it. I had wheels, but I was missing something. And without that thing, I couldn't run spiritually. Without that thing, I couldn't turn on. There was no spiritual life to me. Oh, you look at me and say, that's a person. That is a perfectly normal human being there. They got wipers. They got headlights. They've even got seats on the inside with seatbelts. Look at that human being. But there was something missing. Something that wouldn't let me fire up. According to the scriptures, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Dead. No matter how many times you turn that key, nothing was turning on. You hit that gas pedal all day, and there I would spiritually be. Just unable to move, unable to function. People would come to our door and they would spout religious stuff, and that's all it would be. I'd be counting down the minutes to where they would leave and Mom would turn the television back on. I would sit in Sunday school classes and it'd almost be like I was Charlie Brown sitting there just wah, 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 wah. And then they'd get you a piece of candy and you'd say, hey, you know, get to put your hand in the little toy box. Hey, that was it. Then the day the Lord saved me, it clicked. And I desired things I'd never desired before. And I understood things I'd never understood before. It ain't magic. I was made alive. I could understand things. The Holy Spirit dwelling within me, we were able to see that and understand it and have a thirst for it and a hunger for it. Right? The very first thing He did was restore you to life. He brought you to life. Just like everybody, every garage mechanic that just kind of sits there and goes, man, we're going to get this thing running. My father-in-law, he's one to always have a car project going. And I tell you what, when he got that engine running, the entire block knew about it. He had an old Mustang he fixed up. Oh, man, he put some modifications in there. He did some things to it. We were living a couple doors down. I heard that thing fire up. I go, ooh, he scored a point over there. And I tell you what, he had a big old grin on his face. Man, when the Lord brought you to life, wasn't it one of the most amazing things? when he saved your soul, forgave you of your sins, one of the most amazing things you could ever experience when he restored your soul. Because before that, what are we? We're but a hollow shell of what we could be. Suitable spiritually for nothing other than perhaps some scrap. Oh, to float down and fulfill every whim and wish of my own and never quite see God's plan, never truly be a part of his will. I'm glad that changed. I'm glad I can function spiritually. I'm glad that I see my Creator. I'm glad that I can serve him. What happened? We were made a brand new creature. The old things having all passed away. The sin, the trouble, the shame. Those things were gone. We see there again, as the verse says, behold, all things are made new. Forgiveness, where there wasn't forgiveness. The ability to forgive, where before there wasn't forgiveness. You know what? You realize that when the Lord saves you, he teaches you how to truly forgive. Some of us, we forgive with an asterisk. You know what that means? I kind of forgive you, but I'm going to hang on to this one. Right? Every time you cross me, I'm bringing it up. Right? When I sit there and I think about you, I think about this thing. We didn't really know how to forgive until we learned how God forgives. When God forgives, he removes it so far from us and so far from him, he don't remember it anymore. The Bible says, could you imagine that? God, who knows every blood cell you've got, but he can't remember the sin, he forgives. What an amazing thing. What about joy? You know, I've met some Christians going through some phenomenally hard times. And I've seen people without Christ go through the same ones. And I've seen those problems eat them up. And I didn't blame them for it, because if I was in that situation, I'd say that would probably destroy me. But I've seen children of God go through it and somehow hang on to their joy and hang on to their peace to boot. And you sit there and you go, there's no way for that to be. Without God, there's no bitterness, there's no anger, there's no temper about it, there's just joy. How? Well, that's the gift of God. And what about strength? True spiritual strength. I've met some people had zero control, seemingly, over their actions. They just went by their sin nature. Didn't make a solid, wise decision in all of their life. Lord saves them, and all of a sudden, they start thinking. All of a sudden, they've got a guide stick. They've got a map to figure life out, and they're using it, and life gets better. That's what the Lord does for you. There's that sheep out there wandering around on their own. Keeps dropping his feet into ruts, tearing up his feet and legs. Now he's got a limp, covered in parasites. Keeps drinking out of nasty water. Now he's sick all the time. That was us. We'd consume nasty things. We'd surround ourselves by nasty things. And you get an animal and you surround it by nasty things, what happens? It becomes a nasty thing. Infections and sores and all manner of problems. We get lousy with sinful things. We surround ourselves by it. We consume it. Oh, we're a mess. But when God comes by and he restores the soul, what a great day that is. What a change that takes place. We see that restoration, that salvation that happens first. Oh, and wouldn't it be wonderful if that's the way we stayed? If the Lord could just figure us out, and then that would be it. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But that's not how we are. You ever see that video? The farmer pulls the sheep out of this crack in the ground. I don't know how they got a crack in the ground, but there's a huge crack in the ground. They pull the sheep out, and the thing goes running off, and then falls right back into the crack. That's us. Oh, Lord, please forgive me of this sin. I trust Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins, Lord. I just pray he be my Savior, and pulls us on out. And then, hey, you want to come over and do this thing? All right. And all of a sudden, we're in sin again. And we don't need new salvation. We need what? To repent of that sin, get back on the right path, right? Well, I've stopped reading my Bible. I got all excited when I was first saved. And now I've gotten into this sin. And the sin has pulled me a little bit away from God. And now I'm keeping all these sinful secrets from people in my life. And oh, what a mess I'm in. Lord, please forgive me. And he reaches down and he wedges you out again. And we go for a little while. And then we find ourselves back in that spot again. That's us. But time and time again, what does he do? He pulls us back out. He forgives us. Again, in any other situation, we would look at that poor sheep and we would say, all right, buddy, you made your bed. Now lie in it. But that's not my God. My God is forever patient. He's long-suffering. He forgives as often as we need it. He restores us body and spirit when we get into trouble. Psalm 42 verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now listen, when sheep fall over, and there was an old English saying that they are cast, or in this phrase, cast down. That's when they're stuck on their back. When they're like that, they can't get up. You've got to come by and physically sit them back up. And once they fall over on their back, it is a ticking time clock. Some will only last a few hours. Some, depending on the temperature, if it's cooler, it really just depends. They could last for a day or so. But it is a death sentence to be stuck on their back. What will happen is that ruminating stomach of theirs will begin to bloat. It'll cut off circulation. They're in bad shape. And somebody's got to come by and kick them on back over. That's us when we fall into sin. We're stuck. You know, we tell people, hey, you can't die spiritually once the Lord brings you back, but you can go comatose. You can get yourself into a pickle where you're no longer operating spiritually. I want you to imagine being that sheep for a second that's stuck on their back. The pain, the discomfort, the panic. A lot of the things we go through when we're living life without godly influence on it. When there's no obedience, there's no adherence to the Word of God. We fall into that. Well, why am I so panicky? Why am I so anxious about these little things? And what's going on? Because you've left the ground God has put you on. Your feet ain't touching it. You play things the devil's way, you lose control really fast. But you know what he does? He comes by and he lifts us back up. Now, we've prayed for physical needs that people have had, literal sickness, and we've seen that healed. We've prayed for literal sickness before and seen the Lord take that person home. And either way, whatever the Lord's will was, we praise him for it. It was either a regular healing or a short-term healing or what we call a permanent healing. Never to be sick again. That's the way the Lord answers. He takes care. Right? Sometimes he'll sit there and remove the infirmity. Or like he told Paul, my grace will be sufficient for you. I will teach you to be strong. I will make this a thing for you where you and I grow close. I will help you deal with this, but I will not take it away. When I am hurt, I know either physically or spiritually, I could take it to the Lord and say, here. I went through something just recently, kind of solved a problem that I've been fighting with for a while, didn't expect a solution. You know what I was able to see? I looked back and I said, listen, this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but I'll tell you this, God showed me something. He showed me where I was wrong. He showed me his protection over me for all these years, showed me the way that he's written out my life. And in a moment where I wanted to be sad, I was able to praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for the way you wrote my life. Thank you for the people you put into it. Because there's moments where you get discouraged. You do, you get discouraged, don't you? I know the Lord's there, I know he cares. But you see things play out in your life, you go, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted to see. You need to trust the Lord. You need to trust him because there's a reason why you got to go through that. It took me 20 some odd years to get to the point that I just came to in the last few weeks. Lord, I now understand what you were doing. Lord, I now get it. All along you were protecting me. All along when I said, Lord, I need an answer, and you said, wait, now I get it. We need to trust in him. We need to rejoice in him. Because even when it seems like you're not getting your way, I mean, think about it. You lift that animal up, it ain't automatically healed, is it? You got to get that circulation going back through it. There was a in that book I was reading, he was talking about how he'd prop the sheep up and he'd have to hold it there and massage out its legs to get that circulation. And after a while, it would get feeling back again to its extremities. And instead of just stumbling around and falling on its back again, it'd be able to go. That's what the Lord does. You know how I like things? I like quick answers. I like to go fast. If I'm doing something, I want everything there, and don't you dare get in my way. Anybody else here like that? Yes, you are. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I want, like that guy out there right now, I want to go now. Right? Now! Lord ain't like that, is he? We're like, all right, Lord, put it all together now. Put it all together. No, hold on. We got to get that circulation back. We got to get you moving right. I got to make sure you're okay. You're going to take your time on this. No, I want it. No, you're going to take your time until I know. You're well. We think we're well. We think we've got it all under control. But God sees things we don't. So sometimes he tells us that word, wait. Wait, you're not ready for this yet. Wait. You don't understand what's going on. This is very pitted ground around here. You go stumbling through here with your legs like that, you'll fall. Hey, you don't build yourself up spiritually, you'll never survive this journey. You don't get this sin out of your life, you're just going to fall again. We got to get this taken care of. Sometimes, like Paul, you need that thorn in the flesh, that infirmity, to keep you where you are, to give you perspective, to keep you from falling even further apart. Could you imagine what pride would have done to Paul? If Paul could have sat there and said, look at what I have done, what a mess he would have made. You got to wait till the Lord gets that circulation right in you. And what does that mean? We fall back to the basics. You know what they are. The basics every day of spiritual fitness. I got to go back to them. And I'll tell you what, while we're doing that, Lord will take care of those physical hurts. The Lord will take care of those spiritual hurts. I want him to do it now. It don't always go that way. But he knows. He knows what he's doing. And not just when I am damaged, but sometimes when I'm just going through life. You ever see a sheep that's been too long since it's last been sheared? Man, those are miserable looking creatures. In the summer, I don't like to wear a suit coat. I look at sheep and I go, how do you do it? Right? They look uncomfortable to me, man. You got a big old wool coat on around you, and you got a farmer who's neglectful of his sheep, and you just look at that thing as one big cotton ball with eyes, if you could see those eyes. And there was people that would put those videos up of shearing these things, and I got into watching that. Hey, this sheep ain't been sheared in however long of a time as it takes for them to get almost immobile. And what do? And man, that thing fights them and bites, it kicks. He doesn't like it. Number one, it ain't used to it. Number two, it's uncomfortable. Number three, they got no idea what's going on. So they fight. I tell you what, when the Lord convicts us of our sin, that too much flesh, right? That too much of the flesh on us. When he pulls us aside, starts shearing some of that off. Hey, you can't do that. Hey, here's the punishment for that. Oh, we bite and we kick, don't we? Well, why is he saying that? Why is he talking about that? Hey, listen, why has that got to be wrong? Well, how is this different than any other thing that I'm using as an excuse to make what I want to do okay? And we fight and we kick. You know what happens? You get too much sin on you. Spiritually, you're immobile. You ain't going to serve. You ain't going to pray. You ain't going to read your Bible. You're just going to be feeding that flesh either through the brain or through the gullet. One of the two, you're just going to be feeding that flesh entirely distracted and entirely immobile spiritually. That ain't the way I want to go out. Is it you? How about you? You want to go out that way? I don't. I want to live. I want to kick. I want to go out there. I want to serve the Lord. I don't want those things to bind up on me. I know what it's like to be physically encumbered by too much weight. I don't want it spiritually. I don't want it spiritually. So what must we then do? We must allow the great shepherd, the good shepherd, to shear away all that excess flesh, all that excess sin. Get that out of our lives. Pour it, just take it from us. My favorite of those videos was always that end part, where that thing would sit there, they'd let that sheep go, and it'd sit there, and it'd walk around like it's brand new. I don't know if a sheep can smile, but you can almost see it. They're, whoo! It got 100 degrees cooler. They're able to move things they ain't moved in a while. They thought they were dying. And all of a sudden that load comes off of them and they feel pretty good. I'm sure you've been there, haven't you? You get down on your knees. Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Lord, we ain't doing this no more. And you throw out the instruments of your sin and you set up the barriers to keep it from coming back. And you get down on your knees. Lord, please, let this be the last time. Forgive me. And you put all your effort into giving it up and you're not going to do it again. You get back up. What does it feel like? It feels like a bunch of weight off your back, don't it? You're able to move spiritually in a way you haven't been able to move in a while. You desire to pray again. You desire to read again. Hey, listen, what's going on up at the church? What can I do? What do we need this? Do we need that? All that comes back. But the more you are encumbered with your sin, like fleece on a sheep's back, the more of it that grows, the less likely to move we're going to be. And the more uncomfortable we'll be. I'm glad for a God that restores my body and spirit, even if I've done it to myself. Going back to Matthew 18, verse 12, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Sorry. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, in this particular case, he's speaking of children, but in other spots in the Gospels where he's talking about this, that's us. That's us. You ever get in trouble with your parent as a kid? I mean, you, come here! And you didn't come. I think we were talking about that just recently. That happened to us once. You wonder why it happened to us once? Because my mom went off. And that was the last time, man. Mom called, we ran. We ran. So often we think, I can't go over there, they're angry. I can't go over there. I'm going to get a whooping. I go over there now. Might as well stay out here and have fun. That's the mentality we fall into. But you know what? God's not angry. Oh, he gets angry at our sin. He gets angry at where we are. But he wants you to come back. He's happy to see you again. I want you to imagine that father as he sat waiting for the prodigal son. That man planned on killing the fatted calf the whole time. I firmly believe that. I can't prove it out of scripture, but as a dad, I believe it. That boy comes home, we're going to kill that calf. He might have gone through a couple calves he was planning on killing, right? That might have gone on for a few years. We don't know how long he was gone. He might have had a few calves. Okay, that one. Our ass too big. We got a new one. That one. That one's getting... He comes home today, that guy's going to have some steak sauce on him. That's all I'm saying. That ring was loose. He's sitting there twiddling on it, waiting for him to come back. Put a ring on his finger. There were robes sitting in that boy's closet. I know it. Bring the finest robes! That's how God waits for his children when they go astray. Oh, I'll kill them. Oh, I'll beat the tar out of them. That ain't my God. Come home. Come home. What do we see here in this passage? How is it that he finds the sheep? When I was training, when I was doing dog training, it was one of the things that I would tell people. We would train them. One of the classes is I would have them go further increments out, and they would call the dog to come over. And I had one guy, and there was always one guy in the class who was just a little bit too mean. Hey, come here! You know what that dog would do? They'd have a little puppy. You know what that puppy would do? Pew! He'd pull at the end of that leash and he would just, it was on a, you guys have ever been to a PetSmart before? They got the tile floors. So they're at the end of this leash just going nowhere. Just trying to get away. So, no. Call it like you love it. Call it like you mean good things for it. And it would always be the kids. It would always be the kids that get the dog to come back first. You want to know why? Because there was a gentleness in their tone. there was love. You know what that kid called? Hey, come here. The moment that dog would come over to that kid, you know what that kid would do? You just give it the ruffles in the ears, just stroke its back. He's a good boy, he's a good boy. And they always give too many treats, right? Hey! It was a beautiful experience. When your father, who is not a dog trainer, who's not keeping you as a pet, but when your father in heaven, he calls for you, you better believe it's out of love. You better believe it's to offer grace. And that's what he's got in his hand waiting for you. I tell you what, if my dad ever called me from the front porch, he had a belt in his hand, I'd be awfully concerned. I'd walk real slow to that door. But that's not how my heavenly father waits for me. My dad never did that, by the way, but that's not how my heavenly father waits for me. Come on. His arms are open. And when he finally gets me right, what does he do? It's exactly what the shepherd does. Hey! I found my sheep! Look at him! Yeah, I know, he's bloody and he's messed up and he's gonna have a limp for a while from all the trouble he caused himself. Oh, but I found him! Oh, we're gonna put some medicine on him. We're gonna shear him up real nice. We're gonna close these wounds. He's gonna be alright. I'm gonna take care of him. He's back. Or as the father said, said to his son, hey, you need to rejoice. This is a good thing to have killed the fatted calf because your brother was dead. And now he's alive. Amen. Yesterday I thought he was good and gone, man. I thought that was it. This is that dad, not our Heavenly Father. He knows what we're going to do. But yesterday he might as well have been dead for all I knew. And many of us, we look at some family members we've been praying for a long time. They ain't ever coming. You don't know. And when they do, what do? Hey, praise the Lord. Let's go. Some folks, they want too much when it comes down to forgiveness. They want proof. They want pudding. They want the whole nine yards. Man, if you stay by me for the next 30 years and you don't mess up again, then you'll have complete forgiveness. I'm glad God don't do that to me. And we ought not do it to each other. I've always loved that. You know, one of my favorite things that I remember being a member of another church, it wasn't at Flat Rock, but it was the first time I saw this. A young man brought his family into the church. They'd been out. There was some issues. He got himself right. He came back into the church. I'm sorry. I've repented of my sin. Will the church forgive me? And I want you to imagine, what do you think those people did? Do you think they sat there and went, this guy, you see him? He's faking. No. You've never seen so many tears. You've never seen so many people crying and smiling at the same time and hugging and loving. Hey, amen, man. We're so glad to have you back. Oh, it's so good to see you again. That's how your Heavenly Father is waiting to greet you back when you get lost in your sin. When you get caught up in it. Because that's who He is. He is a loving Father. When we've wandered in our sin, in our distraction. Sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes you're not bogged down by your sin. Sometimes you're just distracted. What happened? Oh, well, we got to planting this and doing this, and we just completely lost track of time. Ain't been reading, ain't been studying, been doing other things. Oh, no. You need to walk daily with the Lord. Stay close. What'll He do when I'm just distracted? Oh, He'll bring my attention back. We used to have a teacher that would do that. He mastered the art of asking you a question when you doze off. Anybody, you were a daydreamer in school? He knew the daydreamers. And he'd hit you with a question just as soon as you drift off. You'd be off over here becoming an astronomer, you know? Mr. Roland, yes, sir. What do you think the answer is? Can you ask the question again? I didn't ask a question, Mr. Roland. Pay attention. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He'd get me with that all the time. Then one time I did. Mr. McMahon, I don't think you answered. I don't think you asked a question. I did this time. Oh, okay. I thought I had it, man. I thought I had it. Hey, Mr. McMahon, he was something else. Hey, come back. Come back. I went to him one time. You know what embarrasses me when you do that? He goes, you know what would stop that? I go, if you quit? He goes, no, if you'd stop dozing off during school. He goes, you're in here every day for extra help on math. Maybe if you paid attention to what I taught it the first time, you wouldn't need to come here. I go, ouch. Be nice. But that's what, isn't that the truth? Is that not the truth? If I'd have paid attention in the pew, I would have never had to learn that lesson out in my life. If I was paying attention when I was reading, I would never had to have been called back to attention. Nobody would have known I wasn't paying attention because I was paying attention. There was this one kid, man, he used to drive me nuts. Mr. McMahon would do that to him. And you know what he would do? He'd have the right answer every time. The kid was a genius. He could be like, what? He head in his arms, sleeping. Mr. McMahon saw it, math problem up on the board. Called out the guy's name, pointed at the board, can you solve it? He'd read off the number, right? Just, here's the answer. And he just kind of relaxed back in his seat, waiting to fall asleep again. I go, you turkey, how you do that? You can't do that spiritually. There are no savants in spirituality. It's all come by hard work and paying close attention. That's how we get it. And that's what happens. We don't put the hard work in. We don't pay attention. You're going to get a few things to call you back to attention. You're going to have something happen that brings you back. I don't want the Lord to have to get my attention. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's painful. I don't want to play that game. I don't. So when I've wandered, He brings me back. And sometimes that bringing back can be a very beautiful thing. Because sometimes I can't come back. Sometimes I'm so distracted, I'm so encumbered by the things that have happened, I can't come back. So you know what He does? He comes to get me. That's that person who calls you up. Hey, listen, brother, sister, you doing okay? And what do? Oh, I'm fine. No, tell the truth. Lord made them call. Lord made them call. I learned that a few years back when I'd have a preacher call me. Hey, brother, just call and see how you're doing. I always used to do the same thing. I'm good. Everything's fine. You know what happened when I started telling the truth? Things became good. They became fine. Because I was willing to talk about the problems. Oh, but if I talk about the problems, if I talk about the sin and the struggle and everything going on in my life, people will know that I sin and have struggles. What would we do if the people in your life knew you were a sinner? What would we do if people found out that you struggled spiritually and you had things going on in your life and you didn't have a ready answer, or you had the answer, but it was still hard to go through? Welcome to the club. I'd say we'd get jackets, but we've already got them in this flesh. We're all in the club. Right? How you doing? That's the Lord sending somebody your way for you to get some comfort from, for you to get some guidance from. Don't lie. Tell them. And you know what you do? You take that spiritual advice, you take that wisdom, you apply it to your life. Don't be prideful. Don't be silly. Put it into place. And I'll tell you what, you'll find that comfort you need. You'll find the solutions to the problems. We just need to let the Lord come get us, because He sees you where you are. And He's got all manner of ways to come and rescue you. All manner of ways. There's that sermon that got up underneath your skin. There's that passage of scripture that left you in tears. There's that song that somebody sang or played and it tore you up. You know, sometimes the Lord will send a sermon for me to wake me up. Sometimes it's somebody singing a song. I've fallen under conviction just as well when somebody is singing or playing a song. We need that conviction. We need that rescue. And that's exactly what the Lord does. And in those moments, after we've come to grips with our sin, in those moments when that good peace and that care, compassion and grace is applied to the situation we're in, when we're in that moment and the Lord is working with us, there's a sweetness. There's a relief. Why? Because that's what happens when you're rescued. It's good. It feels good. I think it was my senior year of high school. I was driving down the road and off on the side, I saw one of our church members. It was Melissa Lentz. And she had, I think it was Lauren she had with her at the time, Lauren or Megan. And they had a flat tire. They were frustrated. Couldn't get the thing off. Here I am. I thought I was helping. Yeah, it was pretty good. I came to the rescue. Man, there have been moments in my life where I've been in it. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. Make helping somebody on the side of the road look like nothing. People have come in and rescued you. Lord swept in and he's given comfort. Hey, listen, again, like I said, it's not just about sin. Sometimes you get buried under life. And you get pulled away by those distractions. You get pulled away by the suffering and in the pain. You know what the Lord does? He comes in and he just washes over you. Even to have his presence, even to know he's there, is sufficient for me. To know that as I'm lying here in this hospital bed or in this trouble here, whatever I'm in, that the Lord is with me and no matter what happens is his call, that's nice. That's good. The atheist, he sits alone. The agnostic, they don't know who's there. But for me, I know my Heavenly Father is watching. And I know that he's caring. And we know that it's a matter of either I'm coming home with you or you're helping me along. Either way, I'm not by myself. Either way, I've got my rescue. I've got my words of advice and comfort that I need. And time again, he brings us home. Time and time again, like that father, as I've mentioned before, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. We need restoration from time to time. And the whole process isn't an embarrassment. It's not a shame to us. The Father, he rejoices. This guy was messing up. This child of mine, be it me or you, doesn't matter. Hey, now they're back. And they're healing. And they're functional. It breaks my heart when people start saying that there's things that can happen to you spiritually and emotionally you can't heal from. I've talked to people who've had just about every kind of hurt you could imagine and a few hurts you couldn't. And they have found healing. But because some Facebook page says you ain't ever going to heal from it and you need to expect to be left unhealed, well, we just dive right into that. You don't know who God is. Now, can he make it as though nothing bad ever happened? Nope, you're going to have to bear that. But there's a difference between healing and, you know, again, like it never happened. You know, I've pointed out this scar. I've got a few scars. You've got scars, no doubt. Brother, you got some scars. They ain't bleeding anymore, are they? You ever have to think about them? No, I mean like the ones you cut on your hand. You ever like, oh, no, that's going to be a problem? No, because they're healed, right? Now, that leg scar you got, that's a big problem. But little cuts, little nicks, those aren't going to be bothersome for me. Now, some are going to be like a surgery scar, where underneath that scar is some problems. And that's not going to go away. But the bleeding, the danger, that's all gone. Why? Because he's rescued you. Spiritually, you could be hurting. And there's some things you got to heal from, and that may take time. But I tell you what, I'd rather heal in the fold than heal out there waiting for some wolf to get me, for some bear or lion. Because there's a lion out there walking to and fro. And just as much as the Lord sees the suffering sheep, the predators do too. And I don't want to be a part of that. So if we're going to stand, we're going to need some restoration from time to time. Don't be embarrassed to call out for it. Don't be afraid of what God will do. Oh, don't even think about what that other brother sitting at home is going to say. You just come home. You just come and get that business done so you can go on healing. And I tell you what, we'd live better lives, happier lives, if we embraced the Lord restoring us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that if there be anybody here who, like me, from time to time needs restoration, Lord, I pray that if they're in that moment right now, you restore them. The Lord, you give healing, you give strength, peace and comfort. Lord, all the gifts that you give, help us, Father, to be found faithful and in the fold so we don't find ourselves in these situations. Lord, that we would do right, bring you honor and glory. But Father, in those moments of needing restoration, help us not to fear you, But Lord, help us to call out to you in our need. And Lord, we can trust, we know that you'll be there for us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 155.